welcome back to another episode of the podcast formerly known as Pricks on Flicks with Chris, Scott, Ashley, and Josh. But right now we have Chris, Scott, and Ashley in studio. Say hi, guys.
Hello,
what's
everybody.
Happening?
All right. We all went and saw Alita Battle Angel.
We did.
That's going to be our topic of the day. But first,
you know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about movies and giving you sort of a baseline of what some of our favorites are. So today we figured we'd switch it over to TV, because we'll be talking a lot of TV too, and give you just sort of a baseline where we're coming from, what we like. I guess the best way to start would be, what is your favorite TV show of all time?
Mine is without a doubt Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, huh?
Yeah.
See, I fast-forwarded through so much of that.
You knew Breaking Bad was coming from him.
Yeah, I got Walt and Jesse tattooed on me.
I forgot about that. I'm trying to think. What's yours, Scott?
Mine is really no contest either. It's The Wire.
It's that's a really, really good one where I was disappointed that one ended.
I loved
The Wire.
I can tell you my top three right off the bat. It's Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Dexter.
Love Dexter. Kind of went downhill at the end for me.
Yeah.
But
Dexter,
I agree,
faded pretty precipitously. It dropped.
John Lithgow's season, which was season four, I believe, was its peak.
Pretty much when
Deb... And then there were three more seasons after that?
Yeah, the next season was pretty bad.
When Deb found out, it kind of just went to hell.
See, I disagree. I think there was a bad season in there, and then I think it picked back up. The last season was lackluster, because I think it was eight seasons. Might have been seven.
Was it eight? I don't.
Might have been seven.
I didn't make it past five. If four was John Lithgow, that was great.
Rita's death was one of the
happiest moments of my life.
Most impactful moments I ever watched. I just couldn't believe it when the show ended. I was watching it on a media player, so when it ended, the screen just went to black.
Yeah.
Well, I had it plugged into my TV. I'm sitting on my couch. Screen just goes to black because the media file stopped. And I just stood there staring at a black screen for 5 minutes.
Yeah. See, I was good with her death.
That was the Red Wedding with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Red Wedding.
I stared
at
a blank TV screen for it had to be 10 minutes, and I was just like, "What did I just watch?"
There's been probably six episodes like that of Game of Thrones. So
yeah, there have been a lot, but that
but
was the
Red
one
Wedding
that...
was like.
It's hard not to put Game of Thrones in your top three.
I know.
It's because it's so easy to say.
It is easy to say. That's what everybody says.
But it's deserving.
True. I texted Scott a couple weeks ago, about a month or so ago. I was like, I restarted Game of Thrones, and was texting him throughout it. Dude, you just forget how many episodes were just unbelievable.
I started it again too, and it's my first time doing a full rewatch, and when you're watching them week after week, you kind of feel like, all right, let's get to it. It feels like there's slow spots, but then rewatching them just straight through,
it's so much
is happening
better.
Every single show.
Yeah.
You know, when I watched it the first time through, I didn't read any of the books or anything. So I'm watching it fresh.
Yeah, me either.
And a lot of their long conversations, which there's a lot of long conversations in that show, are lost on me because I didn't know who the fuck they were talking about. I didn't know where they're talking about.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
And the second time I watched it through, I know every single thing that they're talking about. So it was better rewatching Game of Thrones than it was the first time.
Yeah, I got sidetracked on a Parks and Rec binge, but I'll get back to the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the second time through of Game of Thrones, even though you don't have the shock and awe, so much better. Because, you know exactly what's going on. And, in the beginning, with the Viper, we talked about it. It's like, I didn't really understand why he was so pissed and who he was talking about and where he was from. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh.
And now when they mention Lyanna Stark, you know who they're talking about.
Right.
When the first time, you're like, wait a minute, who the fuck is Lyanna again?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, the first time through, there's so many characters that it's mm-hmm. hard to
Where the
keep
fuck
track.
Are they from? What the... where's Dorne?
Well, it's like...
right.
me and Vince had a couple conversations where we'd be talking about Game of Thrones, and he'd say a name of a character, and I'd be like, oh, wait, which one is he again? And he's like, do you not watch the show? I mean, how do you not know who that is? And I'm like, Vince, listen, I watch the show and I pick out the faces and I know who they are if you tell me what they look like. And
yeah.
I could tell you a lot about that character.
Right.
But reading the books, when it says the person's name, you have to know who it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Watching the show, you don't have to know them by name. So,
no.
Yeah, I watched the first season and I decided to not read the books because I really enjoyed the show. And
well,
I go,
people get so mad, yeah.
Yeah, everybody gets so angry and it's... And I would probably do the same thing if yeah. I read the books, and I'd be like, "Oh,
well,
this didn't happen."
They're past
the
books now, right?
They're past, right?
Yes, but George R. R. Martin is telling them what to do.
Well, basically. Yeah, you assume that, but I'm just saying, like, all the book snobs out there can't say it's worse than the book now.
Right? Yeah,
I'm a notorious book snob.
You
That's
are.
Why I didn't read the books.
Well, I read Ready Player One before I went and saw the movie.
So good.
So you probably didn't
the movie
love the
or
movie?
The book?
The movie.
See, I was a little disappointed.
See, I really enjoyed the movie, but
I enjoyed the movie.
Didn't even know it was a book until you told me.
Well, Simon Pegg's character, can't remember his name.
Come on, Chris. You read the book.
Yeah, I did. I don't know.
Walter.
Don't worry about it. But in the book, he was, I mean, next to Parsifal, he was the biggest hero.
Really?
Yes. And they just totally...
Well, he did give him the extra life.
Yeah, that's not how he got the extra life in the book.
See?
Ah, see? Book snob. Book snobbery.
But,
they also have about 500 more hours to detail stuff.
It's a short book. It's not that long.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, each gate should have been its own movie. And I know it's not easy to go into a studio and say, hey, green light me for 3 movies.
Yeah.
Now, it is Spielberg... So
he probably could have
done. They may have been able to get that into multiple movies, but as we'll discuss with like Alita, like I'm just like, here we go, like another trilogy.
Yeah. Also in Ready Player One, the rest of the cast, like the girl,
yeah,
Artemis and H, they weren't as pivotal as they were in the movie.
Really? And they were
Parsifal
very,
was
and they were really
the hero.
I see what I liked about Ready Player One is that the characters were so developed in a fake world and yet you got very little of them outside in the real, you know.
You got more in the outside or in the real world in the book. Obviously.
How
yeah, obviously.
Did we turn a discussion about our favorite TV shows
yeah.
into Ready Player One?
Right.
We are very good.
We digress.
Highlander, greatest TV show ever.
Is that what you're going with?
I'm going with Highlander.
Your picks are always unexpected.
Was it Christopher Lambert?
He was in the movie.
I know he was. I didn't know if he was in the movie.
He was in the movies. TV he did show. Make a couple cameos in the show as Connor McLeod, which were big when he showed up.
Why do you always go to like 6th through 8th grade for your favorite?
Sniper.
Because those were my happiest memories are.
Well,
watching TV with mom
well,
on
if
the
that's
couch
the case,
with popcorn.
My favorite comedy was DC Cab.
Never saw it.
I don't have any
Mr.
idea what
T,
that is.
Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I forget that you're old.
Very old.
Adam Baldwin?
Was that in black and white?
No.
What is your favorite comedy?
TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a rough one. Oh, no, I have said this before. My favorite sitcom of all time is Cheers.
I love Cheers.
Cheers is good.
It's an excellent television show.
I'm trying to think newer audience people. I mean,
you're not going to go to 8th grade?
No, I'm not going to go
Full
to
House.
8th grade. Full House. Loved it. New Girl went to shit. I am enjoying The Good Place.
Yes.
The Good Place is excellent.
And they've made a decent turn. They got it back somehow. I thought they were going to lose it, but going back to The Good Place.
Very disappointing season finale.
Yeah, but you know, they had to do something to now they get a whole new good place. They're back in the good fake good place,
right.
And they can do whatever they want again. And Chidi will have his tummy aches, and you know
they
got a little serious. But every comedy does. That's the problem with them.
Not Seinfeld, the greatest comedy of all time.
Yeah, just you know.
I think the funniest show on TV right now is Impractical Jokers.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so funny.
I'd actually...
Yeah, and you look exactly like
Sal. That's a reason why I've never seen it, because I get it once a day. Yeah. You look exactly like the guy. Have you ever seen it? Do you watch it? I go, no, I don't.
You know, honestly, I think the show I actually like belly laughed to the most is Happy.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And another one for me is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel every time Tony Shalhoub is on screen.
See, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
guilty.
I know you
that.
Told
so
me
good.
I need to watch it.
And Tony Shalhoub is the funniest TV character in a long, long time.
The best comedy on TV right now, I guess you can call it on TV right now, is probably still Arrested Development.
It's not still on, is it?
Yeah, it is. They still have half a season to come out this year.
Arrested Development's still on?
Yeah.
They came back after years for another
season. Yeah, I remember
season,
that. I like Modern Family, too.
Modern Family is a really good show. I have not watched a good background show.
It is. Like,
I used to watch every single week, but you know what? I wasn't,
I catch the reruns on USA.
I wasn't, Modern Family was on tonight. When I would download stuff, it'd be like, you know what? There's been like three or four episodes of Modern Family. I'm going to download those, and then I'd watch them. So I'd watch three or four at a time, and I loved every episode pretty much.
But it's just such a straightforward.
Did you see when Edward?
Yeah.
Edward Norton was on Modern Family?
No.
He was the lead singer of Spandau Ballet. What's that song?
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I haven't seen that one.
I know this much is true. He was a singer. You know that song?
I do know that song you're talking about.
So he played the singer.
You got me at the end there with that, yeah.
He played the singer of that song, and Claire hired him to come sing that for Phil for Valentine's Day. And because Phil loves Spandau Ballet, so Claire thought, and Phil was like trying to fake his way through it, like, oh yeah, I love them, because he didn't want to upset Claire. And Edward Norton was like, oh, what's your favorite single off of second album? And he's like, they were all so good.
I have to check it out.
Edward Norton was hilarious.
It's just
in that cameo.
I keep meaning to start it. Formulaic sitcom, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And it's good if it's on and you have it on the TV, like if it's on USA and there's nothing to watch and you put it on, you'll get a good chuckle out of it. But it's just...
Most overrated is Big Bang and 2 and a Half Men. Those shows are terrible.
Two and a Half Men is terrible.
So is Big Bang.
I have recently discovered... I never watched Big Bang Theory, but I started catching the reruns on TBS and I thought, this is kind of entertaining. But then I realized that it was probably because I was high. I have recently stopped, and I tried watching it the other day, and I go, oh, this isn't good at all.
No. I've tried with that show and with 2 and a Half Men, and they're just not fun.
2 and a Half Men is like the worst show I've ever seen.
Oh, you know what kills
terrible.
Me?
Terrible.
The laugh tracks.
My wife just brought that up the other night, the laugh tracks. That and that character, just that leechy, pathetic character just always drives me nuts.
Well, I remember watching an episode of 2 and a Half Men where, like, Charlie Sheen walks downstairs and he looks at Alan and he's like, have you seen my socks? And the laugh track's like, ha! And I'm like, what the fuck? That's not fucking funny.
I know. I saw one the other day and they're like, oh, why? You won't sleep with her, but you slept with my wife, my ex-wife, my therapist, my boss, my secretary, and they're laughing the whole way through.
Yeah.
It's like,
that is one of the worst television shows I've ever seen. Especially when you put it into context of it was one of the highest rated television shows for like 10 years.
Which is I don't
crazy.
Get it.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Ranch on Netflix gets all this love. Me and my wife tried watching
it. That's a terrible show.
Can watch it.
I didn't get through 30 seconds. We started watching it and the laugh track's going off like crazy. And I look at Heather and Heather goes, yeah, this laugh track's killing me. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, we're done.
It's awful. Like, don't tell me when I'm supposed to laugh.
Yeah, but if you watch the old sitcoms, like I recently did Cheers rewatch.
I think Cheers was a live studio audience.
Was Wings filmed in front of a live studio audience?
I don't know, but I loved Wings.
I loved Wings too.
Yeah, can you find Wings anywhere?
I don't know.
Is it on any streaming service?
You probably can find it, but
right, but is it readily available?
You would think they'd be throwing reruns out there of it, but
I used to love Wings, too.
I did, too.
That was like appointment viewing grade, for my family. No, that's before eighth grade, probably, right?
So who do we have? We had Tim Daly. he was the main guy.
Yeah.
And his brother, yeah. I can't remember his name, but he's been in a lot of stuff.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
And then the mechanic who was three names. Thomas Hayden Church.
Yes.
Did he play Lloyd?
Lloyd.
And then you had Tony Shalhoub. And also the girl.
The girl who worked at the diner.
Who always, to me, looked like the female chipmunk in the chipmunk cartoon.
I can kind of see that.
And Alvin and the Chipmunks?
No.
Chipwreck?
Chip and Dale, the cartoon when we were kids.
Chip and Dale.
Yeah,
that one. Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale.
Right. But there was the female one, Gadget. That was her name, wasn't it?
Jesus, you know more about Chip and Dale than any human.
Her name was Gadget. And I always thought that she looked like Gadget.
What was the other?
She was a pilot,
what was the other cartoon? That was
Gummy Bears?
No, remember the kid had the flying like skateboard that he'd get behind an airplane on?
I think you dreamed that.
Yeah, I think you just created a new TV show.
Stop talking about it before somebody steals it.
No, it was a show. It's like Boomer. It was like some of the Boomerang. I can't remember though.
I think
and it was like monkeys.
Johnny Bravo?
No.
That was way after my time.
Damn.
Another underrated comedy that I know Sharp will agree with me on. I don't know about you, Chris. Is Psych.
I got into it in the first season. And I just kind of drifted away from it.
Ugh.
But I liked what I watched.
That's one of my go-tos when there's nothing on TV. I throw on the Hangover episode of Psych.
I'm perfectly content. I've done that with a lot of shows, though. I started watching Mindhunter when it first came out, and I watched two episodes. And then I just started it over and watched the rest of it like 2 weeks ago. And that was 2017. And Mindhunter's the first two episodes was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
I just kind of went away from it.
That happens to me, too.
I did the same thing with Narcos.
Yeah, I haven't even started this. I tried watching the first one, and I love Michael Pena.
And what?
Narcos?
The guy that plays Oberon.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the new Narcos.
Yeah,
Narcos
that's
Mexico.
Season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Pena's in the new Narcos?
Yeah, he's in season 3.
I love Michael Pena. I can't remember
Oberon's name, but he's in the first two seasons.
Oh, right? We just did this. Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
Yes, we just did this. We had this same discussion not too long ago.
Pedro Pascal.
What did you think it was?
I thought it was Jesus or...
You were kind of close.
I was close. I said it had peas, but...
What else do we want to cover on TV?
I'm really just torn from on our finding past, this 90s
from our
cartoon.
Past history.
This 90s cartoon, I have to find it.
You ever watch any like BBC stuff?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Misfits?
No, and you've told me about
that
show
before. I loved Misfits. It's like what Heroes should have been.
Oh, really?
But it's serious. It's really funny. It's probably classified as a comedy, but it's just as serious as it is funny. Robert Sheehan, who plays Klaus in
Umbrella Academy.
The Umbrella Academy. He was in the first two seasons of that. You ever watch
Klaus is great.
You ever watch Preacher?
Yeah.
I watched the first season.
There's a guy
it
in
didn't
that
hook me.
There's a guy in that. He was in the same he was also in the movie I don't think he's not the main star of Preacher, but he was also in the movie with Guy Pearce, the Die Hard in Space.
Yes, I remember that movie. I never saw it.
So do you know the actor I'm talking about?
No.
Die Hard in Space.
It was like Lock Up.
Yeah, it was called Lock Up.
Yeah.
But he took over for Robert Sheehan when Robert Sheehan left, and he was great. He played Rudy. I could tell you his name. You wouldn't know it.
Same character?
No, just a new actor. Yeah, Robert Sheehan in the first two seasons was the funniest character on Misfits, and he left, and then they brought in this new actor who was now the funniest character on the show.
Okay.
Different character.
I don't know.
BBC.
BBC. I'm trying to think of BBC shows.
You ever watch The Night Manager?
Yes.
Yes.
Very
did you watch
ending.
Did you watch the BBC version or the American version?
I watched the American version.
I watched the American
because
USA.
In the BBC one, you got to see Elizabeth Debicki.
Naked?
Yep.
Mm.
And she is absolutely gorgeous.
I don't know who Elizabeth Debicki is.
Did you see the Night Manager?
Oh, it's the same person?
Yeah, the girl with the short blonde hair.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The when I said the BBC version and the American version, it's the same show.
Same show.
Actors,
okay.
Same everything.
Just no censorship. Just,
yeah, right.
Okay.
No American prudes.
I thought Hugh Laurie and Tom Hiddleston were knocked that show out of the park. And because of that show, I would love to see Tom Hiddleston play the next Bond.
It was a bad ending, though.
I still thought the show was great.
The best BBC show Blinders? Is Orphan Black.
No, I didn't. Vince raved about it.
Love Peaky Blinders.
Orphan Black will be my favorite BBC show forever. I love that show.
I'm a big fan of British television.
I am too. Killing Eve season 2 starts soon.
Yeah. That's coming up.
Unfortunately, Netflix seems to be going more Spanish and Asian.
Joseph Gilgan is a Rudy.
Nice. We were all.
I will show you the picture, see if you guys recognize him.
Oh, the vampire. That's all you had to say.
I didn't watch Preacher.
Oh, you didn't watch Preacher?
No, I just know that he was on it.
He's the vampire from Preacher. Okay.
I just knew he was on it.
The vampire is like...
He's the best
character. He's the best character on Preacher.
By far the best character. It may be Tulip, but I'm a little over her.
Is that show still on?
Yeah. They just wrapped up the last season, and Hitler's back.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he's working at a Subway.
you know,
it was a pretty good show. It was just I just like Chris was saying earlier, I just drifted away from
it. It was this season was really drawn out with them being in New Orleans. Or no, this New Orleans was last season. This season he went back to his house. Where he grew up. Jesse.
What was the show with Tom Hardy?
Oh, the doc
See,
Taboo.
I started watching Taboo, and it was great, but I got into this thing where I was just so tired of the period pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, the one with the women, Godless, Taboo, Peaky Blinders, all that stuff.
Well, that was the thing, is I couldn't watch Taboo because Peaky Blinders was on, and Tom Hardy's in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Basically playing the same role.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I never got into Peaky Blinders either, because I got into that funk where I was like, I need a break from these period shows.
I can understand that. It's different. And there's a lot of them.
And they're
especially
good.
Especially on the British.
They're really good.
Especially on the BBC. But, yeah, most of them are really
I'm really digging the miniseries that are coming out and the limited series. I love the open and shut stories.
Mm-hmm.
Even going back to like Hatfields and McCoys.
Well, we talked about it because people are so afraid to kill off characters too. And it's like, make it a limited series. Like no matter what fame it gets, it's this long. It's already been filmed. There's no drawing it out.
Plus you can get bigger actors because they're not signing on for... Like with True Detective.
Yeah.
You weren't going to get McConaughey and Woody Harrelson to do 6 seasons of a show, but you'll get him to do 1.
Right. Yeah.
That is one of the things I love about Breaking Bad. Vince Gilligan had his story. When that show went off the air, it was the highest rated show on TV. It was huge.
Yeah.
Giant. How easy would it have been for Vince Gilligan to say, yep, we're not ending the show. I mean, and he would have kept making money, but he stuck to his story. This is my story.
Yeah.
This is the end. We're ending it.
But then they made Better Call Saul, which is just trash.
No, it's well written. It's well acted. The dialogue's great. It's just so fucking slow.
You're right. Everything is good in the show, but nothing happens.
Right.
Nothing.
And
I don't want to learn about some lawyer that's eventually going to disappear.
It's a little weird watching a show where you know exactly where the characters are going.
Right.
I mean, But yeah, I think the show's great. It's just so fucking boring.
So boring.
That is an odd way to describe a show, though.
But it's
great.
I'm talking about the quality of the show, the acting, the writing.
Yeah.
The writing, the cinematography. It's shot well. It's acted well. The dialogue's good.
But then they took the most boring part of Breaking Bad and made another show about it. Like, the lawyer side of it is just so boring.
Well, I really do think that Vince Gilligan could have done much more exciting stuff with Saul. I mean, but...
But he has his story.
Right.
Well, and we get it. He becomes a dirtbag, but they're taking so long to get to it. Like, they're in season three, and he's still, like, I think he just became Saul Goodman.
I think he said it in the season finale.
Yeah. Just now.
And I actually did the math on it. It was a while ago, so I don't remember it. But in this last season, there was a time when he went and visited Chuck's grave, and it had the date of his death on the grave. So I was able to figure out how far are we away from the beginning of Breaking Bad.
Mm.
And we're still like a couple years out.
Yeah.
I mean, How much time does this...
I haven't watched the show. How much time elapsed in a season of the show?
Like a month.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean,
see, like,
I started.
The characters are great.
Yeah, the characters.
Howard
are great.
Hamlin.
Well, and, Howard was great. Hamlin. Yeah.
Hamlin McGill.
Yeah, Hamlin McGill. I can't think of the guy's name, but the underboss. I love him. The tortured, you know, wants out, but
he's still in it.
Yeah, he works for the cartel. Mm-hmm. Love him. Like, I just keep wondering, like, are they going to kill him? Is he going to get out?
Well, you know, I don't know if you're aware, they did announce Vince Gilligan is making a Breaking Bad movie.
Yeah, focusing on Jesse, right?
Yes. I believe Bryan Cranston has signed on, but
is it
going to
be better than Need
like,
for Speed?
Flashbacks. I hope so. Did you watch The Path with Aaron Paul?
No.
On Hulu? Yes. I didn't watch it.
First season was really good. And then it got really stupid.
I heard that. I've heard that from multiple places, so I didn't even bother watching the first season.
I'm not a big fan of it. I watched it till the end,
which was not an end because it got canceled. But, yeah, it got pretty dumb.
Hmm.
Not a big fan of Aaron Paul?
No.
I like him.
Well, that's
kind of
like the whole Better
I don't think Need for Speed was bad because of Aaron Paul.
Well, no. I mean, that movie was just
the Better Call Saul thing for you is kind of like Tremé... For me.
Oh, you watched Tremé, huh?
Yeah, and I hated it.
Really?
I didn't
Vince
hate it.
Loved
it. I didn't hate it, but I watched it because it was David Simon, and he was the
Wire
creator, and it's so of course
you got
I'm going to watch
some
it.
Of the same actors.
You got some of the same actors. You got Wendell Pierce, who I
now,
love.
Now, in Vince's defense of that, he goes to New Orleans a lot. He loves New Orleans, and that show is very, I mean... It's not just about New Orleans. They film in New Orleans. I mean, it's very New Orleans.
It's very New
very
Orleans.
Very New Orleans.
I was just laughing about the Facebook post.
Okay.
But yeah, so I watched it, and I watched the whole first season, and I was trying to convince myself to like it. And same thing.
I watched like 5 or 6 episodes of the first season, and
it was
Better Call Saul was so boring.
It was the same thing. Same exact thing. It was dialogue was good,
mm-hmm.
beautifully shot. Story was there, but it was boring.
I did see Kermit Ruffins when I was in New Orleans. You remember who Kermit Ruffins is in Tremé?
No, I watched it as it came out.
Okay,
and
Kermit was
blocked it from my memory.
The really good trumpet player, or trombone, or I think he plays trumpet.
I think it's trumpet too.
Yeah, but he's a real person. And Vince and I went into his bar called. It's either Mother's or Mother-in-Law's. I think it's Mother's, but it's not in a great part of town.
Right.
And we went there at like
noon.
6 o'clock in the evening, 5 o'clock in the evening. It was still light out. We walked there, and I'm gonna bring this up because there's a guy that does a podcast called Beyond Bourbon Street.
Okay.
And Mark Bologna is his name. And he talked to us about coming down and maybe doing a podcast with him and doing all this stuff. The podcast is called Beyond Bourbon Street. So doing stuff off of Bourbon Street.
Right.
Like with the vampires that live down there.
Yeah. But so we get down there and he's like not replying to anything. So we were like, all right, fuck this guy, whatever. We're just going to have fun. And then so we go to Mother's. And when we left Mother's, it was like 7:30, 8 o'clock, still light out. And under an overpass, there were probably 200 cars and motorcycles out there, all locals, partying, doing donuts, showing off their cars and stuff. Now, every single one of them was black, and they were locals. And so we were standing across the street, two white guys, and Vince says, "Hey, you want to go over there?" I said, "No." I said, "We would not fit in over there."
And, you can fit in anywhere.
No, it was not, like I said, they were all locals.
Right.
And we stick out like sore thumbs.
You've got your fanny pack on
and your cardigan.
So, so then one of the local drug dealers comes up and tries to sell me some coke. And I was like, "Oh, no, thanks, brother. We're good." And we were talking to him a little bit. And however the conversation went, he was like, "Oh, you guys are all right out here now. But I wouldn't be out here past 9 if I were you guys." So Vince made a Facebook post and said, like, when the local drug dealer tells you to not to be out here past 9, you bolt at 8:30.
Right.
And Mark Bologna comments and says, "Where were you?" And we said, "Yeah, we walked over to Mother's." And he comments back and says, "Yeah, you guys had no business there." And I'm like, "Fuck you, dude."
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the tip, asshole.
Who's got business being there?
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? Kermit was okay with us being there because when we were in the bar, we saw him and he kind of looked over at us and we waved to him because we knew who it was. And
yeah.
He like gave us a glass up in the air like, "Hey, fellas." And Kermit had no problem with us being in his bar.
I don't know why people have no business being anywhere. I hate that.
Right, it was ridiculous.
I love being places I have no business being.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Your podcast is called Beyond Bourbon Street. We get off Bourbon Street and you tell us we got no business being there.
Some of the most fun I've ever had is just wandering into some place I had no business being.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
But yeah, I'm going to take the drug dealer's advice.
Would have left. I'm not faulting you for that. Yeah. But
all right. We got any more TV talk?
Is there anything that anybody wants to talk about? We just breezed over comedies, and I can't believe I'm the only person that said Seinfeld, but that's okay.
It sucks.
I don't think it holds up very well.
It holds up extremely well.
No, it doesn't. You got Jerry talking about menage a trois. "I'll have to get all new friends, menage a trois friends. I can't be a threesome guy."
Yeah.
You could have that
the only one that holds
today.
Up is the pool.
Yeah, right.
That's the only one.
You say something about a threesome today, and it's like,
jump on it.
You've never had a threesome? What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if that conversation. I don't know if that's the reaction. I think it's more.
But
like
it's not
high five.
It's not as shocking.
No, it's not.
I mean.
Well, Jerry's a square.
Yeah, I still enjoy Seinfeld. I still watch it. It's still good.
I catch it on Thursday nights on TBS sometimes, and having seen every episode about 10 times, because it was constantly on when we were younger, and I would always be watching it. When you haven't seen them in a long time, and now I catch them on TBS, like I probably text you every week and say,
"Yeah, probably."
I forget how good Seinfeld
you
is
do,
because it's fucking excellent.
But I mean, you
Letterkenny,
also watch wrestling.
You guys need to watch Letterkenny. Yeah. I think both of
you would
love that
Josh
show.
You know, Josh was talking about that last week, and I keep meaning to watch it, and then I keep forgetting what it's called. I'm going to put it in
my phone. It's one
write
word,
it
Letterkenny. You know what, Mike?
One
said,
word?
Yeah, because it's the name of a town.
It's the name of a town.
Letterkenny.
Oh. Yeah.
But you said your go-to show at night is Seinfeld. You know what mine's become?
Supernatural.
No.
Probably.
That's once a week. That's once a week. But, like, I'll watch it. Reruns after reruns after reruns. Friends.
I did that for a little while, but then you cannot.
My wife did that.
You cannot. Do you think Friends is better than Seinfeld?
No.
Okay, good. I hate those people.
No.
those people are. They just drive me nuts.
I think some of this.
My go-to is Modern Family, actually.
Yeah. That's one of mine, too.
My go-to is
on USA
watch,
till like midnight.
I'll watch those and Friends.
Yeah. I'll go to Hulu and put on Always Sunny, too.
Oh, I love Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Vince talked about how bad it got. And
It got bad for a short amount of time, but then it got better than it's ever been.
I stepped away when it got bad.
I only didn't like when
Matt
got fat.
Oh, yeah.
I love when Mac got fat.
Mac fat.
Do you watch this season?
Because I'm a fat guy.
Do you watch this season?
Yeah.
Dude,
he's fucking shredded.
He's so yoked, dude.
Yoked up?
Oh, he's fucking ripped. And the season finale of that one, I thought, was the best episode ever.
I know
ever.
That you loved the interpretive dance, and I enjoyed it. But
it wasn't funny. It wasn't a funny episode, but
the Always Sunny wildcard episode is the one for me.
It's such a classic.
I cut the brakes.
Wild card!
I didn't know what you were talking
that's
about.
That's the gang solves the gas crisis, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I loved Mac and Dennis move to the burbs.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, see, I need to go back.
When Dennis opens up the closet and it's all the Kraft mac and cheese boxes in the closet, every time I fucking crack
I liked when Dennis was on the front lawn flipping out. Take it off. Don't get to talk about Alita.
No, not today. Unfortunately, I have a prior engagement.
Well, we only got
quick 20... Alita thoughts.
We only got 25 more minutes.
Nah, I gotta go.
All right, get out of here.
Boo!
You screwed me today.
Someone was 20 minutes late.
Yeah. Well.
well, let's get into. You want to get into
my Alita? My was amazing. Oh my god! Best movie I've ever seen. No, it wasn't.
I think you're exaggerating.
I am exaggerating.
We haven't. You went to go see it today, Chris.
Yes,
right?
You liked it though, right?
Yeah, I did like it. It was good, but I was disappointed by some things. And like I said, the Avatar love story kind of was more than I wanted. But
okay,
it was good.
And you mentioned. Here we go with the trilogies because we don't have an ending. It's,
right.
It's
no
obviously
ending. And it's like,
a
and this is one
movie.
Of those movies right. where you don't even know if it's going to get another one.
How's it doing? Did anybody see how it did at the box office?
It was the number one at the box office, but there's nothing out.
There's
it,
nothing
it,
out.
It did,
in the middle
it
of February.
It did 38.5 million.
38's not bad.
But it's not great. They got to hope for overseas.
They'll do well
It'll
overseas.
Probably do really well
They'll do
overseas.
Really well overseas. All right.
All right, later, bro. I'll give you a call, tell you what we're watching for next week.
I guess we should just jump into Alita, huh? Since we started.
Yeah, I think we should.
So you saw it today.
I did.
What were your impressions?
Okay, first off, this was the most beautifully CGI'd movie I've seen since Avatar. It was the first time I sat in the theater and I found myself looking around the screen at everything in the background. And I haven't done that since Avatar. The action scenes were absolutely phenomenal, where there was no blur. You could always tell exactly what was going on.
It was really well done.
From the previews, I thought that Alita was going to look very cartoony. But once the movie started, I didn't get that at all.
No, I didn't either. And I kind of was afraid that it was going to have that same effect. I thought it was going to be very cartoony and just be the CGI was going to be too much and too far out, but it really wasn't. And the acting was good. What is the girl who played
domestic
Alita been in?
47 million, foreign 103 million.
Oh, yeah. They can get another one.
Worldwide right now, 150. Trying to see what the budget was. I'm not seeing the budget.
What are you on?
Box Office Mojo.
Budget should be right.
Production
there.
Budget 170 million.
Oh yeah, they'll get a second one, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie is going to stay in theaters for a while.
There's nothing coming out until. You got 2 weeks with nothing coming out, basically. Yeah.
But the fans are loving this movie.
Are they?
I think it's got like a 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
Can't beat that.
Rotten Tomatoes sucks.
It does, but it gives you an idea of what people are thinking, at least.
Yes. The critics' reviews are around 65, I believe.
Let's see what the... I'm on IMDb. Let's see what the Metacritic is.
Yeah, I'm on IMDb too, but I'm pulling it up.
Metacritic's 54.
Metacritic's 54?
Yeah.
That's bad. And I mean, it's bad that they would rate this that low. The IMDb score is 7.6 out of 10. I would go higher than that.
I'd probably be right around there.
I would probably go up to about a 8.0. I really, really enjoyed this movie. Thought it was really good.
It was well made. The story was good. the kid annoyed me. What's his name?
Hugo?
Hugo.
Yeah.
I didn't love Hugo. And I also don't know. We don't want to put any spoilers out there.
How big a spoiler?
I don't know why Hugo was trying to climb the tube.
Because at the beginning of the movie, he said that if I had your strength, I'd climb right up that thing.
Right.
And then at that point, he did.
That's true. But, yeah, and I guess he was, he needed to get
out
of Dodge.
Let's break down the story of this.
Okay.
So, Christoph Waltz, who plays Dr. Ito.
Ito.
Which I was always thinking Judge Ito. From the
O.J. Simpson trial.
Every time they said Ito, I was like, Judge Ito? Lance Ito? But, okay, so Judge Ito finds, I mean, Dr. Ito.
I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, I didn't even mean to do that. But Dr. Ito finds Alita in the scrap heap underneath a floating city, which we learn is called something with the Z.
Something with the Z. That's all I got. Yeah. I want to say like Zara, but I don't think that's right.
Zerna or something like that. I don't know. But so you basically got the high class that live in the city in the sky, the rich. And on the ground, which is surrounded by a wall of water, which was cool.
It was very cool. I don't necessarily know why, though.
Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, that might be part of the second.
But so he finds her and names her Alita after his deceased daughter.
Right.
And gives her the body that he had made for his daughter. He mentions at the beginning that you have a human brain.
Right.
So we do know that at one point Alita used to be human.
Yes.
And she doesn't know who she is. Throughout the movie, there are flashbacks that let you know that she is from the URM, U-R-M, something Republic of Mars. United Republic of Mars,
I believe, yes.
The United Republic of Mars, 300 years ago. This movie takes place in 2565.
Good, I'm glad you remembered that, because I couldn't remember the date.
And they say 300 years ago was the fall, the war between the URM and the world, basically.
Right, and
The URM lost. And we find out that Nova is the leader up in the Z place.
Right.
The floating city. One of the things that I was thinking is this United Republic of Mars, the URM, they were humans at one point. I am thinking that Nova, who we know is over 300 years old, because he said something about being there since he was there at the fall, and he said something about being immortal.
Yes, he did.
So I'm thinking at some point, I don't know, around 2100, 2200, Nova took over as like the leader of Earth, and people fled and went to Mars and created colonies on Mars, to where they developed this better technology than people had on Earth. So, and then they came back and waged war on Nova and lost. That is my thinking of what happened. I think because everybody thinks the URM is bad, the enemy, they weren't. I think they were trying to overthrow the evil dictator.
That makes sense. So 6 of the 7 floating cities fell, correct?
Yes.
And the last one left is the Z place, which it would probably be smart if we knew the name of it, but yeah, what are you going to do?
That's poor planning.
Anybody who's listened before knows this, we're not totally prepared. but are we sure there's not people on Mars still?
No, we don't know that there's not people on Mars still.
Right.
They still might be there.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about, I talked about with my brother-in-law, when Alita was battling during the fall, was she android then, or was she human then?
She was android, though.
I think so, too.
She almost had to be, because we just saw some of the things that she did in the flashback, and they were not human. Yeah.
she was pretty badass. But
yeah, she was badass.
And let me just say that I really think that this character is my favorite female hero of all time.
Really?
Yes, I do.
I mean, that's something I would have to give some thought, but she's a badass female hero.
And it's, the movie was PG-13, correct?
Yes, because they got that one fuck in there and they really drove
fuck
it
your
home.
Mercy. Yep. And it was awesome.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
When you get that one fuck in a PG-13 movie, it's usually pretty awesome.
I was just really, really impressed with her character. I went into this movie thinking that I hope it's got good action.
Right.
That was all I was looking forward to. And I really, really liked her. And also Christoph Waltz. I thought he did
he's
great job.
He's always good, though.
Yeah, but I was kind of getting to the point with Christoph Waltz where I was like, is he Hugo Weaving? Like, Hugo Weaving started to annoy me.
He hadn't gotten to that point.
No, he hasn't either. I was afraid that this movie was going to do that. That
I
was going to get to that point.
That at 48 years old, Jennifer Connelly is still throwing heat.
Yes. If I had a notepad in the movie, I would have written that down because yeah. I thought about it a couple times.
Yeah. And
did you know that she was the voice of Karen in Spider-Man Homecoming?
No.
Yeah. The one in his Iron Spider, but his Tony Stark voice talking to him. That was Jennifer Connelly.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And did you know that was Edward Norton that was Nova at the end?
Yes. That I saw and I go, what do you think about that? Like movies that are going to get a sequel? Like it's happened in this movie.
There were two big actors in this movie that were uncredited. Edward Norton's one of them.
Right.
Who's the other one? Jai Courtney. Do you know who Jai Courtney is?
No.
Did you ever watch Spartacus?
No, I never watched Spartacus.
Okay, did you watch Terminator Salvation?
Years ago.
Did you watch the last Die Hard movie?
Yes.
He was John McClane's son.
Okay. All right.
That's Jai Courtney. And from the stuff I mentioned, he was in all that stuff. I just wasn't naming random stuff. Right. So he's been in a lot.
Right. But there's been two movies of recent vintage that I can recall where you knew there was going to be a sequel, and the last scene of the movie, they revealed a big actor that's obviously going to be a pivotal point of the next movie. It happened in Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, I didn't see it. Was that Johnny Depp?
Yeah. Okay. Colin Farrell became Johnny Depp.
Oh, really?
At the end of the movie, because Grindelwald was masquerading as Colin Farrell. I can't remember his character's name. And then it happened in this movie. And I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
You know, because
when they were just kind of showing like the bottom of his face and stuff, I was like, is that Dana Carvey?
I couldn't tell who it was. And then it was once I saw his full face, I go, obviously that was him.
So Alita starts to remember who she is, that she was this advanced battle android.
Right.
I mean, one of the most superior warriors of all time.
Yeah, using a fighting style that has been lost, basically. Mm-hmm.
They mentioned the type of fighting style, person that revolutionized it or whatever.
Yeah, and it's really not around anymore. It was a Erm style.
Mm-hmm. And her suit is Erm technology. So the goal of her boyfriend, Hugo, is to get up to the Z city in the sky.
Right. It's consumed him for his entire life, basically.
And he's working with Mahershala Ali.
Who was excellent.
He was awesome.
Who is always excellent.
Yes. Did you know he was a Division I basketball player?
I did not. Where did he play?
I don't know. He averaged like 1.6 points per game.
Really?
But he played Division I basketball. So
that's more than 99.9% of the world
awesome.
Can say.
And he doesn't look like the type. I mean, don't say he's black. Of course he does.
No, that's not what I was thinking. I was just trying to. Is he a tall guy?
I think so.
I never really put.
I think he's
I never
pretty
really
tall.
Considered him tall, but I never really thought about him in terms of height before.
Yeah, but that's impressive. He played D1 basketball. That's awesome.
Yeah, he averaged 1.6 points, but he got his education and probably studied.
That's 1.6 points I don't know if that's accurate. It might be 2.1 or something.
Who cares?
But that's however much he averaged is more than, like you said, 99.9999% right. of the world. So that's elite. You play D1 basketball, you're elite.
Why doesn't he play in these celebrity games?
I don't know. That'd be cool.
He'd probably just go out there and win MVP all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right.
If Kevin Hart's winning MVP in the celebrity games, I'm sure he could.
But yeah, Mahershala was great. Played a villain in this. He really wasn't that bad a guy.
He's just an opportunist.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't like...
I mean, he's kind of a bad guy, though, yeah. when you think about... I don't know how deep we want to get into... Yeah.
The last thing he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said that's the only way he sends people up to...
Yeah, right.
So it's not the first time
yeah,
he's
right.
done
that's true. But, I mean, throughout the movie, you're not like, oh, I hate this motherfucker. He's a bad... I mean, he's just... He's the... Well, she says it best, the puppet villain for most
right.
of the movie.
Yeah.
He's not the real villain.
Yeah, because she's... We shouldn't give anything away. It's too new.
Yeah.
But can I ask you a quick question? What did you think of Motorball?
In general.
Motorball is a futuristic sport they play, which is kind of like roller derby.
Yeah. I mean, watching the chicks on roller derby back on... I don't know what channel it was on, but when we were kids, used to watch it all the time. It was that, but you throw a ball in there and robots.
What was the James Caan movie about?
It might have been Roller Derby. I don't know.
Was it Rollerball or
I don't know.
I meant to look that up before I came because I was like, why does... I understand that Motorball is like the most popular thing in the city. But I didn't necessarily, and the Motorball scenes were really cool, but I don't necessarily think it needed to be part of the story. There might have been another way.
Yeah, I thought that for a while. This movie was over 2 hours. It was 2 hours and 2 minutes. I love movies that are, I think all movies should be over 2 hours. There are people that complain that those are too long. Movie should be under 2 hours.
I can watch a three-hour movie and think it wasn't too long. I can watch an right. hour and 45-minute movie
exactly.
and think it was way too long.
The 2 hours of this movie flew by.
Yeah, it went by real quick.
Real quick. But I knew how long it was going into it. So when I'm watching the first scene of her doing the trial, trying to qualify, I'm thinking, is this necessary? This seems like filler for cool action and doesn't really suit the story. But when you find out that the final champion, the ultimate champion, gets to go up to the city, and that's the end of the movie, is her preparing
for that. To be the final. To
at that point, I was like, okay, it kind of is necessary.
It is, but I don't know. I don't mean to harp on this. It's not anything to take away from the movie. It's just seems a little contrived.
I felt exactly like you did until the end.
I just don't know if... I feel like there could have been a better way to get her up there. But, don't get me wrong, the motorball scenes were very cool. They were well shot, the action was very cool, you wouldn't call them deaths necessarily, but because they could get a new body.
Well...
And not all of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know how many that she actually killed.
Well, the one guy actually died whose head was rolling around, and then the...
Yeah,
because
they still need the heart, don't they? You need your core, I think. I don't think they could just cut your head off and...
No, because she didn't have... Oh, she did have her heart, obviously. Yeah. I guess you do need more than just the head. You could probably reattach the... No. No, I guess you don't, because her heart was...
One of the things brought up to me, which was a good question, was we see her eating oranges, chocolate, meals.
They explained that right away, though, and that's why I thought... Yes. The first time I saw her, he goes, here, eat this. I go, she's a robot.
Right. you need your nourishment for your brain to survive.
Right.
But here's the question. The fall was 300 years ago. I'm guessing that Alita fell in the scrap heap, like... Remember when the big defense ring came down, wiping everybody out, and then Michelle Rodriguez grabbed her? Which I didn't know that was Michelle Rodriguez.
I didn't either.
I found out. But that's the last we see of that.
Right.
my thinking is that the two girls continued up to the battle, lost, and that's when she fell into the scrap heap. Well, if she was laying in the scrap heap for 300 years, she wasn't eating. So where's the nourishment for the brain?
Well, I mean, I don't think we could say that
that's nitpicking.
That's when she fell in the scrap heap.
That's what I'm thinking.
Why would she be on the top of the scrap heap?
That is true. I thought of that. But why would she be up there for 300 years? And then, I mean, if she was up there, wouldn't Nova have gone after her?
He may have had her. And then someone may have...
But wouldn't he have just ripped her heart out to use it? Because that was the big prize of her.
Right. Like, they say that her heart could run the entire city for...
100 years or something.
Yeah. Maybe they were trying to recreate it.
Well,
Here's
what I think we're going to get in the sequel. We're going to get a continuation of the story. And the backstory that we saw was pretty limited.
Very limited.
And short scenes, and not a whole lot of them. And in the sequel, I think we'll just get more of that.
I think
is a good way to do it.
I think so, too. I think there's going to be a lot more flashback in the sequel. And I feel like there needs to be, because there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, because somebody asked me the question, you think they'll do a prequel? I said, no, I think they'll continue the same story arc that they were doing.
And they can pick up exactly where they left off.
Right.
They just pick up at that moment.
And I think your prequel is going to be in the sequel, in the flashback scenes, just like we had in this one.
And then you pick up at that moment that the movie ends, and then you start your movie with a big action scene, because she's going to be playing motorball for the chance to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So you start your movie with a big action scene, get everybody hooked, and then the flashbacks will come in between the time after she wins, I assume. And
our questions that we had are going to be answered.
Yeah.
Like, what happened after the death ring?
Right.
We're going to see exactly what happened. I guarantee it. They're going to continue that backstory.
It's an amnesia story, really. You know, she's getting her memories back over time, and the way the story's constructed, we couldn't really know what happened, because we're following her, and she doesn't know what happened.
Right.
So as she gets her memories back, I'm sure there'll be more and more flashbacks and have a better idea of how it got to the point where she was in the scrap heap, or at least I hope.
Yeah, we got to see Jeff Fahey. I don't know if you know who Jeff Fahey is.
What was he in?
He was the dog guy, the one with the dogs.
Oh, okay.
Did you see Planet Terror?
No.
Really?
Never heard of it.
The Quentin Tarantino, or it's not? It's Robert Rodriguez.
Oh.
It was Death Proof, or the two movies.
The Grindhouse movies, yeah.
Did you see both of those?
Yeah.
Well, the old cop or whatever was Jeff Fahey.
Okay.
I don't know why I remember that, but
you remember obscure actors from obscure roles.
But I have always liked him. I've seen him in a few things. He's never played a real big role, but I've always liked him.
No, and his small role in this movie was well done. And they did everything well. Like, I didn't leave the movie with a lot of, like I said, I'm at like a 7. I'm pretty much in agreement at like a 7.6 mm-hmm. out of 10.
And I'm up at an 8.
Right. And 7.6 is definitely worth going to go see at the theater.
And I'm actually dumbing it down a little bit. I walking out of the theater, I might be higher than that.
If you say that's your favorite female hero of all time, don't you have to go higher than an 8?
My son asked me, do you think you'll like Captain Marvel better than her? I said, the character, no. I think I'm going to like Alita more than I like Captain Marvel. But movie-wise, I still think I'm going to like Alita more than Captain Marvel.
You know what? That's a good point, because maybe 7.6 is low, because in my mind, now that you say that, Captain Marvel's going to have to be pretty good to be better than Alita.
Yeah, because when I was thinking about it, that's a Marvel movie, so of course it's going to be better. But then I was thinking about it, and it's like, this isn't the Avengers.
Right.
So I might not enjoy Captain Marvel as much as I enjoyed this.
I'm worried about Captain Marvel.
I think I'm going to like it. I really do. But like I said, it's not the Avengers. It's not Endgame. It's not Infinity War.
No, it's filler before Endgame.
It better be filler, better than it's filler Age of Ultron. And setup.
I'm one of the few people who really enjoys Age. I know it's not great, but I really enjoy it.
So, I mean, Alita Battle Angel, I was really surprised. I knew it was going to look good.
It looked great.
Like I said, I knew it was going to look good, and it looked better than I thought it was going to look.
I mean, the people behind it, though, we should have known it was going to look great.
Robert Rodriguez, James Cameron?
Yeah. You know it's going to look great
right.
with those two guys behind it.
Right. I don't know what James Cameron's...
executive producer, I think.
Was it? Yeah, I didn't know his total role in this. But, God, the movie was beautiful. And it wasn't... It was beautiful in a different way than Avatar. Avatar was green and gorgeous and colorful. I mean, just this, a lot of the stuff in this was...
Well, that's where you get your Robert Rodriguez. It's
dark and browns. I mean, it wasn't eye-popping. But we talked briefly before I went into the theater about the 3D. I thought, there were nothing... jumping out at you that make you jump or anything, but the depth in this was amazing.
The depths were really nice. I will give you that. I'm 9 out of 10 a guy who feels that it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I want, if I'm going to see something in 3D, I want to be dodging stuff.
Yeah.
I want it to be interactive where I think something's going to hit me in the face and I'm jerking and getting out of the way. And that's what I want from 3D. That's what they should be doing. Now, this didn't do that. One scene it did, but
the best part of any 3D movie for me is when the numbers are coming at you at the IMAX.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite.
Do my eyes start watering at that point? It's like, this is fucking with me.
That's the best part of any 3D movie is the IMAX beginning.
Dude, the sound was absolutely rocking too.
The sound was great.
Now, were you in a packed theater?
No,
no. Okay, because I was in an empty one. There were two other people. There was a guy sitting a few rows ahead of me and one guy sitting all the way in the back. And the whole theater was fucking shaking.
Oh, that's a good question. How did you like the seats?
I did a lot.
I told you.
I felt like I was in that world.
I told you that is the perfect seat for those of you listening. If you go to the IMAX, you go 3 to 4 rows back, your choice.
I was in G13.
G13, right smack dab in the middle. You lean back in your seat.
G13 used to be a really good marijuana back when I was in college.
Really?
Yeah. they said it was the government-grown stuff.
Ah.
G13.
But G13 is also an excellent seat for IMAX movies.
It really made me feel like I was in that world. And the thing was, like the background characters, when they're walking through the city streets and stuff, I don't know if you did, but I found myself picking people out, seeing what they were doing. And they were
absolutely all
doing something. These people all had lives. They were, I mean, it wasn't just extras. It didn't seem like that. I mean, at one point, I'm watching in the background, and there's this girl standing on the corner, and this guy walks around the corner, and the actors are talking in front of you, and I'm watching this in the background.
Yeah.
This guy walks around the corner. The girl looks at him, and she, like, jumps on him, gives a hug, and they're talking. You can't hear anything they're saying. That's the type of stuff the extras were doing. It was like real lives going on in the background. It was really cool.
Were they computer generated or were they people?
I think they were people.
Really? That's impressive. Because it's hard to get that from people extras.
Right.
That kind of... Now, computer extras, you could do that pretty easy.
It's directing.
Yeah.
I mean, director saying, hey, I need you fuckers looking like you have lives here. I mean, that's important in a movie like this.
It is important, but it's also easier said than done because
absolutely.
If you get what you want out of the main focus of the scene, but not exactly what you want out of the background, you would hate to take that away.
Mm-hmm. It's obviously easier said than done because I've never even commented about something like that.
No.
Never.
And I was taken by the background a couple times, but it was just more the different machines and robot parts that were catching me. And the dog was also, I also enjoyed the dog. Like, I'm just going to say it. The dog dies.
Yeah.
And
which is always worse than a human death. Any human death.
Right. But it's, and everybody knows that. So it's always an important part of a story.
Spoiler, when you see the scenes of her with the blood under her eyes, like a football player, it's the dog's blood.
Yes, it is.
All right, maybe that's the name of this episode, Dog's Blood.
I'm good with that.
All right, let's wrap it up. We are a little over an hour, and we don't want
to
go too long.
Trying to keep it tight. You know that we have tangents, but we try to keep it tight.
But this is the format we're going to try to hit you with from now on, where we kind of just bullshit for 20 minutes or so. We actually went over a half hour with our bullshitting, and then we were going to dive into something big, and that's what we did, and Alita was fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was, and the further away I get from it, I think I'm enjoying it more, which is always a good sign for a movie.
Yeah, I didn't get to go see it with my son, but I think I'm going to take him because I wouldn't mind seeing this movie again in the IMAX 3D.
What's next week? Umbrella Academy and How to Train Your Dragon, The Lost World?
No, I don't think I'm going to watch that one. I never saw the first one. I don't know what's coming out. We did see a couple trailers. There was one trailer that I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was. What were the trailers before this movie? Oh, Dark Phoenix.
Yes, Dark Phoenix trailer.
Oh, my God. Sophie Turner is so fucking gorgeous.
Yes. We know your feelings about Sophie Turner. And yeah, she's fantastic, but I'm going to be reserved about an X-Men movie until
I'm not excited
I see
about
one that
movie.
I like.
I'm going to go watch it to just look at Sophie Turner for a couple hours.
Such a perv.
Yeah, I am. So what? Shameless. Which sucks, by the way. Shameless.
See, this is what we have to stop. This is why we're over an hour, because we got off on...
All right, call our voicemail. The number is 219-649-1071, 649-1071. Call the voicemail. Tell us what you thought of Alita. Tell us that we're full shit. Tell us that you agree with us, whatever. We are still active on Facebook, Pricks on Flicks, which will be changing.
This is our job for next week. Find a name that encapsulates
what give us some ideas. You want to call us? Give us some ideas? You want to... hit us on Facebook, give us some ideas, whatever. But right now, this is the podcast formerly known as Pricks on Flicks, signing out.
Peace.